It will come. The black hair may be white, the bright eyes may be dim, the loving heart may be impaired in its beating, but the answer must come. There is a God who keeps His word.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, speaking about God's delays in answering our prayers on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may wonder why our prayers sometimes seem to go unanswered and why God doesn't break through right away. Could it be that God's love for us requires that some of our prayers remain unanswered for a while? On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan uses the familiar account of Jesus' delay in responding to the pleas of Mary and Martha to come quickly because he whom you love is sick. Jesus taught that faith as small as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. So it is not how much faith we have, but where we put our faith that matters. Owen Duncan demonstrates that our faith in Jesus Christ is well-founded, because although our prayers may not be immediately answered, they will be answered by a loving God who sometimes allows pain to persist for a while to draw us closer to our Savior and to show Jesus to us in a new light. He also speaks of how pain has produced some of the most beautiful works for God's glory.
Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a predicament or situation in which you knew that God had the answer, and there was a promise in the Word calling to me, you know, and I'll answer, and ask anything in Jesus' name, and He'll give it. And you knew all the promises in the Word of God. You knew that there was a God who loved and who cared, but it just seemed like the heavens had turned to brass. It seemed as though in desperation you were saying, God, why? Why don't you break through and deal with this situation? Have you been there? I want us to look at two people in the New Testament that were exactly there. And there was a reason, there was a design in the holy purpose of a sovereign, omniscient God as to why He delayed in answering. And when He did come through, He came through in a new revelation of Himself that they'd never seen before. Let's look in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Learning from the Lord's delays. Learning from the Lord's delays. Now, a certain man was sick. Verse 1. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He had heard that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. Was it David Jeremiah that said, wrote a book, I think, perhaps, When God Doesn't Make Sense? Or was it Dobson, I believe? Doesn't make sense, does it? Verse 5, now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. Now I'll guarantee you, had you been in Mary and Martha's place, it would not have made sense. And I'll guarantee you, many of you listening to my voice tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. Now let's continue on. Then after this, He said, verse 7, to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to Him, Rabbi or teacher, lately the Jews sought to kill you or stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things He said, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. He's okay. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." In this section of Scripture, the Apostle John pulls aside the curtain so that we can catch a glimpse of Jesus that reveals volumes of encouragement to those of us who are going through times like that. When we say, "Lord, you've got the solution to this problem. I have faith in you." There's nothing wrong with your faith. It's not how much faith you have, it's where you put what faith you do have. Amen? If you've got the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So it's not a matter of working up a ton of faith and then I can come to God and get an answer to prayer. It's where you put the faith that you have and where you direct it. So you directed it to God. You've got a situation and you know that He can answer it. And you're wondering, why in the world hasn't God come through? There's a method to what maybe appear to be the madness of God in our lives at times. There are times when the heavens do seem like brass and God's not listening and no solution or way out of a dilemma. Mary and Martha faced it and they knew their brother was dying. They knew that Jesus could heal him because they'd seen Jesus heal other folks and they sent word to him to come. The one whom you love is sick. And yet he still delayed, the verse 6 says, 2 more days. Does Jesus not care? Is it nothing to him? Just take a look at verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Mary, or Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. However dark my path, understand this. I must dare to believe that at the heart, at the foundation of all of God's dealings with me is His infinite, undeserved, unmerited, unchanging love for me. Painful experiences in life, understand this, have two effects on us. Painful experiences in life will either make us bitter or they'll make us sweet. And how you deal with those things determines the outcome. I want to tell you, first of all, that love permits pain. Picture the breathless messenger running up to Jesus and his disciples. "Come quick, come quick. The one you love is sick unto death." And the two ladies that sent the message thought that no doubt he'll immediately drop everything and he'll come because he's stayed with us. He's eaten from our table. He's a precious friend to us. And yet he stayed 2 days, verse number 6. Now realize this, understand this, and you've got to see this, child of God. He abstained from going immediately, not because he did not love them, but he abstained from going for the simple fact that he did, in fact, love them and was going to ratchet their faith up a few more notches. Now let me ask you something. Did it ever occur to you just how much we owe to suffering and pain? Where is faith without trial to test it? Or patience with nothing to bear? Or where does experience come from without tribulation to develop it? You see, the sweetest aroma the crushed and broken flower gives is when it's in fact crushed and broken. The ore must be plunged into the furnace to bring out the gold. The rough stone must be polished by abrasion for it to sparkle. What about the little oyster that gets a little piece of grit between it and the shell and it's so painful it irritates and it begins to secrete a white, juicy, milky-looking substance around that to try to absorb some of the pain. It keeps creating more and more until finally a beautiful pearl is a result of that. You see, Jeremiah learned this lesson. The tenderest preacher, he's known as the weeping prophet in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah learned this lesson when God took him out to the potter's wheel. And it looked like a vessel that was okay to him, but all of a sudden God, the potter saw a flaw and he crushed it and broke it. And he was teaching Jeremiah that, "Jeremiah, before I can effectively use you, really use you, I'm going to have to break you and remake you." Have you ever been on the potter's wheel? You see, Hosea learned this lesson. It was when Hosea's wife became unfaithful, broke his heart, and left him for a bunch of lovers, that his life was shattered and he sat down with his broken life that he could hold in his hands, and he wept until he could weep no longer, until he began to hear someone else weeping. And he discovered to his amazement that God was weeping with him. And God was saying, Hosea, just like your wife has broken your heart, so have my people broken my heart. You see, Hosea would have never learned it had it not been for the unfaithfulness of his wife. Jeremiah would not have learned the lesson from God had he not been taken to the potter's wheel. Now, when the Lord delays, what do we learn from our pain? These things that happen to us, have you been through some pain? Are you in some right now? Does it seem like your heart is crushed and squeezed until you think, Lord, I can't bear it anymore? Number one, pain drives us closer to our Savior. You see, while Lazarus was healthy, there was no messenger sent to bring the Savior to Bethany. You see, the dark, groaning waters drive the dove back to the ark. The winter blast sends the swallows and the birds south. The sharp pruning knife sends the sap into the ripening branch. Pain makes God a necessity. As long as everything is peaches and creams and pink lemonade and sunshine and everything's going great in my life, I don't really feel a sharp, deep need for God. Come on, aren't we like that? Pain drives us closer to the Savior. I want to tell you the second thing that we learn in God's delays is that pain gives us a new revelation of Jesus. Now understand this. The sisters had known Jesus Christ as the healer, but now they were going to see Him in a whole different light as the resurrection and the life. They knew that He could touch diseased bodies and make them well. But glory to God, you talk about ratcheting their faith up a few notches. When this old boy was dead and they'd already had the funeral and they put his old carcass in the grave and sealed it with a rock. And you remember when Jesus finally got there and said, where is he? And they said, well, Lord, by now he stinks. He's rotten. It's beyond rigor mortis. The maggots are probably setting in. But in that moment, they learned something about Jesus that they had never known before. You see, David would have never known God as his rock, as his fortress, as his shield, his deliverer, had it not been for the relentless hunting of Saul and him having to run for his life in the hills. You see, David would have never known it. He would have never known God as a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a protector, a shield, had it not been for the hunting of Saul. I'm sure at the moment, David couldn't understand why all this is happening. I love you, Lord. I seek to serve you, to honor you, Lord. Why is Saul after me? Why is he pursuing me? Why does he do that? You see, Israel would have never known the power of God to deliver had they not known the horrors and the bondage of slavery in Egypt. I'm sure that when they were crying out under the taskmaster's whips in Egypt, they couldn't understand, but you see, God was using that. Folks, can you not see that? That God was allowing all of the horrors of slavery so that they could see God in a whole new light, that God is able to break the bondages of slavery. God is able to bring to its knees the most powerful empire of the day that ruled the world, that God is able. And it was when they saw that God was able, and had they not been in slavery, had they not been under the taskmaster's whip, had they not had all of that infliction and suffering, had they not gone for days and years saying, oh God, send a deliverer. And when it came, they could all look back and shout, glory to God, what a God we serve. Here's a fact. Every stormy wind in my life whispers some sweet new name for Jesus that I've never known before. It does. I'll tell you something else. Pain produces some of the most beautiful works for His glory. You see, it was after Lazarus had suffered that Mary broke the alabaster box to anoint the head of Jesus. Many of the masterpieces of literature and art owe their existence to the strange and odd touch of pain. If you've studied great literature, you know John Milton's Paradise Lost. You know what caused that monumental piece of great English literature? His blindness. Paradise Lost. Pilgrim's Progress, the greatest allegory in the English language. If you've studied great literature, you know what I'm talking about. The greatest allegory that's ever been put in print was wrung out of the heart of John Bunyan's imprisonment for just preaching the gospel. The song we sing, "There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. He keeps me singing," was written by Luther Bridges, a Methodist preacher, about 100 years ago after he lost all of his family, his wife and all of his children, in a tragedy, in a blazing inferno. H.G. Spafford, businessman, his wife and daughters were traveling across the cold waters of the Atlantic Ocean when their liner hit an iceberg and sunk. His wife was rescued. The daughters perished. She sent a telegram from France, I believe, somewhere in Europe, and said, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" And it was in his grief and his pain that Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul." When sorrows, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, I've learned to say that it is well with my soul. You see, poets learn in suffering what they teach in song. Pearls must be dived for by those whose feet are bleeding, and then they find them. Please note this, that if the master is about to use you greatly in ministering to others, don't be surprised if he puts you in the school of suffering and pain. That often happens. God's love sometimes leaves our prayers unanswered for a while. What happens to our prayers? Have you ever thought about that? Those prayers that I go before God, and I'm in a situation, and I know that He loves me, I know that He's given me these promises, but why doesn't He respond right now? What happens to those prayers, those thousands of prayers? They're not short in earnestness. We go before Him and we cry out to Him in prayer. I know I've got a few in my life, and I'm sure you do too, that I've gone to God, and sometimes I just want to look up at God in my humanity and say, "God, why? God, You could do it. Why don't You do it?" And do you understand where I'm coming from? There are times when I go before God and I say, "Lord, Your word says this." I don't literally take my Bible, but in my heart I say, "Now, Lord, You said so and so. Lord, here it is. You said so and so. God, I'm waiting." And I'm still waiting. What happens to these prayers that are not lacking in faith? They don't waver. Daily we go. And yet the answer hasn't come yet. It's been delayed. There are times God intends in the delay to lead our soul to a position that we've never assumed before, from which we will never, ever again be shaken. Isn't that what happened to Mary and Martha? In that delay, anybody ever come around and cast any doubt of aspersion against Jesus Christ and who He was? Nothing would have shaken their faith after that. No praying breath is ever wasted. The goods are wrapped, sealed, and addressed with your name and address on them. They may not be sent momentarily, but they're... Can you picture the answer wrapped up in a package and it's got your name and address on it? It's in heaven and it's waiting, and one day it will come. It will come. The black hair may be white, the bright eyes may be dim, the loving heart may be impaired in its beating, but the answer must come. There is a God who keeps His word. Can I share before you? I yet believe, if I can be transparent with you, I yet believe a lot of, you see, a lot of what I share with you from my heart, I share from personal experience. And I've got a boy. And I know God up in heaven, you know that I've talked to you and I've taken him to you and I've reminded you what you've said in your word. And God, I'm yet believing you're going to do it. Have you been through that? You see, sometimes what I share with you from this pulpit, I share out of a heart that goes through many things just like you do. A lot of times folks think that we're different. You know, we're strange. God's love will come, and it comes at length. You see, to the sisters, Jesus must have appeared neglectful. Oh, aren't we in our humanity sometimes? Aren't we prone to think, Lord, you know, I guess I'm just different from everybody else because you hear and answer their prayers, but Lord, you've forgotten me. Come on, have you been there with me? You see, they stood by and watched Lazarus die. Every now and then glancing for the door, going to the door, looking down the roadway. Where is he? Why doesn't he come? And they stood and watched him grow weaker and weaker. And his breaths probably came weaker and weaker until he breathed his last breath. And they said, it's too late. Not wasn't too late. You see, through all of this, he knew it all. He knew the funeral procession that went out to the tomb and put his body there. He knew about it. He watched as a refiner of silver. Not a sigh, not a pain, not a tear escapes his watchful eye. You see, we're told by Peter that the purpose in the refiner is to put the ore in the finer and so that the gold or the silver might rise to the surface, and he skims one by one those impurities away. And that's what he's up to in our lives. Taking the impurities, but the process of the furnace being heated is not a thing that we jump up and down and say whoopee about. Some of these soup suds and sunshines TV preachers won't tell you that. If you're loving God, everything's going to be coming up roses and peaches. And if you're not driving, and if you don't have a big bank account and a palatial home and a luxurious car, then you're out of God's will. That's a bunch of baloney. Jesus knew it all. He watched as a refiner of silver, not a sigh, pain, tear that escaped his watchful eye. And then when he does come, he does more than we ever ask or ever thought. He raises not just the sick, but he raises the dead. I would have loved to have visited Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home years later, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have loved to just seen them in their rocking chairs with their hair silver? And they would one by one say, oh, do you remember the time? And Lazarus look over at Mary and Martha and say, do you remember the time when, man, we just thought the absolute worst? It was all over. We were sunk. We'd gone down for the third time, and it was hopeless. There was no ray of light anywhere. Do you remember when they put my old dead carcass in that tomb and put the rock on it, Martha? And Martha'd look over there and say, glory to God. Wasn't he awesome? Wasn't it wonderful when he showed up that day and I was really mad at him? Can you imagine Mary and Martha? I'd love to have been a fly on the wall when they were old and 30, 40 years later. And to hear them say, you know, I really got mad at him. I just thought he didn't give a rip about us. I just thought he'd forgot us and didn't care. And Lazarus said, but yeah, when he showed up, look what happened. And I want to tell you something. I'm not painting pipe dreams for you. If you love God and you're His child, He will come through. He is honor bound to keep His word. And there are certain promises in His Word that I cling to. It's like a life preserver. It keeps me going in this generation. And you do too. I know you. And I know you've got faith in Him. I want to tell you something. He will break through. The stars would fall out of the heavens if He fails to keep a single promise.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. The Liberty Pulpit is an outreach ministry of the Liberty Baptist Church. And now on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.